VGP Vegas Golden Podcast. We are back. I'm Case Kiefer, along with Justin Emerson. First time in a while we've been here, and so much has changed, and yet not that much has. The Golden Knights 2-2 on a road trip. Finally going to get a look at them back home. It's been a while since you've been to a hockey game, Justin.
Yeah, it has. It's been. I didn't go on this last road trip, so it was that Nashville game way back on January 23rd. So excited to be back at T-Mobile Arena tomorrow. It'll be a fun homestand coming up, and then a one-game road trip, and then another homestand.
Right. We were just talking 8 of the next 9 games at T-Mobile Arena. Always fun to have Vegas at home, see how that goes. But, you know, I kind of enjoy keeping tabs from afar, too. One of the more interesting things I saw on Twitter was that the Golden Knights, one of their off days in Florida on the beach playing volleyball. Interesting. So who's your top overall pick if you're the volleyball captain?
The Golden Knights volleyball captain. I don't know. I think you got to go with the tall guys, right? So maybe like a McNabb or a Tuck, or I think they're both listed at 6'4". I think they're the tallest guys on the team.
But I remember maybe it was earlier this season. I saw them, you know, they always play the like soccer game outside the locker room. But one time they had like a soccer volleyball type thing going where they were playing volleyball. And I don't know if I saw McNabb or Tuck as part of that.
I'm just thinking the tall guys, but I mean, you could probably get some of the smaller guys, some little crafty, you know, a Jonathan Marchessault. I could see being a top kind of libero type player, you know.
I'd like Marchessault just for the trash talking element. I feel like he could get in the head of the opponents.
Yeah, I like that. That's good thinking
for sure. But that would struggle with height. We're going to talk mostly about hockey, though. I was very enthusiastic about the volleyball. I loved it. Also watching from afar, it's funny how, you know, we say it, I think everyone says it every week, you know, you don't want to overreact to one or two games, but the Golden Knights come out of the All-Star break, lose their first two games back-to-back, which I called on this podcast, but I also said that they were going to lose the Lightning one. You called they were going to go 2-2, but it's just funny seeing the swings. Everyone's so negative when they lost the two. This is not the team of last year. What's going on with this team? Blah, blah, blah. Then voila, they beat the Lightning, and it feels like a 180. Everyone's fired up, and I think we're just going to start there for a big topic, kind of the road trip and how big this Lightning win was. We've talked in the past about how the Lightning have been, you know, borderline historically good over the first unofficial half of the season. For the Golden Knights to be down 2-1, come back and win that in a shootout, it felt like that could be a big moment for this season.
Yeah, they were even down 2-0. They had that breakaway goal by Eakin to get them within one, and then Valentin Zhikov scores his first of the season, playing up on that top line, and then they win in the shootout. And I mean, you know, shootout wins are kind of, you know, whatever. You know, you can say what you want to about a shootout deciding a hockey game, but as far as the record books go, winning a shootout's the same as winning in regulation. So it's 2 points that the Golden Knights needed. They had lost to Carolina, they had lost to Florida, so they go into Tampa. It was Tampa Bay's sixth loss at home in their 26th game, so it's hard to win in Amalie Arena, and they still did, and then took care of business against Detroit. I mean, it was just, it ended, if you would have told me at the beginning of the trip that they would have gone 2-2, you probably would have taken it. I mean, you had a back-to-back in there, you're going to Tampa. Maybe you don't expect them to lose to Carolina and Florida and then beat Tampa and Detroit, but 2 wins out of 4, if you can do that on the road, I think they said it post-game, like, if you can go 500 on the road and then win at home, you're going to be in great shape.
Yeah, no, I'm giving you the credit. You said 2-2.
I did.
Exact games right, but you said the 2-2. I'm interested. We've talked on this podcast, I don't know, a few hours now, and it hasn't come up. I have a feeling, for a brief aside, I know what way you're leaning on this, but how do we not have your thoughts on shootouts yet? Not
oh,
a fan?
My goodness. I've
got a scorching take on this one.
You have a scorching take. Well, I don't like shootouts. I mean, I think they're like penalty shots are great drama, and I think those are good. But I mean, for a shootout to decide a hockey game, I'm not a fan of. I don't mind ties, which I think might be like it's, you know, sacrilege to say to certain sports fans. But I mean, hockey games are so low scoring. You're going to get tie games, and to award an extra point because one team manages to, you know, have a skills competition and do it a little bit better. I mean, I just don't like it. I'm used to it. It's what I'm used to. It's how it is. I'm not going to complain too much about it. I'm just not a fan.
Yeah, well, I don't really have much defending this one, but here's how you know.
All right,
I'm not a hockey guy at heart, and I guess I'm kind of like the stereotypical American sports fan. Number one, I hate ties. I don't want to see anything in a tie. Number two, I love shootouts. I am down for the shootout every time. They're I agree. Fine. It's totally arbitrary and ridiculous that it's down for a point. So I kind of understand everyone's argument against them. But I think it goes back to when I was a kid growing up in Memphis. We didn't have an NHL team, obviously, but I went to a lot of River Kings games, the AHL Kings affiliate, and I loved whenever the games went to shootouts, and I don't know, I feel like that's I've carried it on to being in the NHL. I've been at probably 3-4 Golden Knights shootouts over the last 2 years, and I get a little extra kick. I love seeing who they're going to choose. The whole thing switches. I'm all in on shootouts.
Yeah, shootouts are fun. Like, it's fun drama. It's exciting. I like to compare, you know, you hear the comparison, it's like ending a basketball game in a three-point contest, which would be fun, but...
I would hate that, though. So I am a little
ending
more
baseball
of a basketball
in a home
guy.
Run derby, would you prefer that one?
Maybe. Hockey's kind of taken the place of baseball a little bit for me now with the Golden Knights. I haven't paid as much attention to baseball the last 2 years. At least we can come to the common ground that they're fun.
Yeah, shootouts are fun. I enjoy watching them. I don't think they should decide outcome of games. I mean, but the Golden Knights are 2-1 in a shootout this year, which means... that had there been ties after overtime, I mean, they have two additional points in the standings because of that, because they're able to win the shootout, which, I mean, they sent Brandon Peary and Shea Theodore were their first two, who I would not have expected, and then Alex Tuck goes, and he scores, so it worked. They won.
I know you weren't there, but did you hear any clarification? What did Gallant say about that post-game? That was very curious.
I mean, there's a lot of things that we don't see. I mean, they do their shootout drills in practice. I mean, obviously, you think of the skilled forwards, a guy like William Karlsson would go out there, and maybe he was next. Who knows? We may never know, and maybe the next time they have a shootout, it's something different.
Yeah, the two shootout wins this year, Halla made the Game 2 winner against Minnesota. Like you said, it was Tuck, and that move by Tuck was pretty nasty.
That was
That's another reason I like shootouts. I like seeing stuff like that. I think, now I can't remember if it was last season. I know Marchessault had a shootout goal.
He had penalty shot in overtime this year.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know. I was surprised he wasn't out there. I loved one time hearing his thoughts on what goes through his head in a shootout. He says he just has absolutely no plan, and he just kind of plays it by ear right when he gets in front of the goalie, which I love.
I mean, every hockey player growing up, I mean, you practice your shootout move, so it's something that these guys are doing, and it's fine. It's fine. Right.
They were able to supplement that win over the Lightning last night. We're recording this on Friday against the Red Wings, 4-3, but I think the Red Wings' last goal came with one or two seconds left.
Yeah, it was 1.5 seconds, and then I think they put an extra one. It was something. I mean, it was 4-2, and then Red Wings scored a goal that, in essence, didn't matter. So, I mean, and the Red Wings scored first, and then the Golden Knights were just kind of lifeless in the first period, and it wasn't looking good, and then they came out fired up in the second period. Riley Smith jumped back on the top line with Marchessault and Karlsson. He had dropped to the third. Valentin Zhikov was playing on the top, but I mean, they were dominant in that second period, and they took care of business against Detroit. It was a good win. It was one that they probably needed, to be honest with you. I mean, you go into how poorly Detroit has been performing in the standings this year. Those are kind of the games that you need if you want to consider yourself a Stanley Cup final contender. Yeah, and they won. They took care of business. Jonathan Marchessault, 2 goals. William Karlsson played maybe the best game I've seen from him, definitely in a long time. Maybe this season. He was spectacular. He looked like a man on a mission last night.
Right. Anything else? You know, wrapping up this road trip. Any other big talking points we missed on? I know they got at least one power play goal in the last two games, right?
Or yeah, is that they scored on the power play against Detroit. That was their first one. Marchessault scored on a rebound from a Karlsson shot. So. Yeah, the penalty kill looked really good. Against Tampa Bay, they did allow one goal, but they held Tampa off of them for the next four. So, I mean, if you can go 1-for-5 against Tampa Bay on the penalty kill, the Golden Knights penalty kill has been probably the most consistent part of their game all season long. It's just been superb. It was they had entered the game number 2 in the league in the penalty kill. So they're able to keep other teams off the board, and I think that was why they were able to beat Tampa. I mean, it would have been just as easy to allow an extra goal or two and let that game get out of hand, but penalty kill was strong. It always is. They're heading home where they are as good as any team in the league.
For sure. Always tough to win at T-Mobile Arena, and making the switch from, you know, the high point of the league with the Lightning to kind of the laughing stock of the league. For this week's Escaping the Fortress segment, where we look at a bigger topic in the NHL, we're going to talk about the Western Conference wild card race right now, which you brought to my attention. I mean, I knew it was ugly, but I didn't necessarily know it was this ugly. I had written the Kings off after about a month and a half. Now, all of a sudden, they have, I mean, they only have 50 points, but they are 5 points out of a playoff spot. So, like, every bad team has a chance to be in it.
There is not one team in the Western Conference right now that you can say is out of a playoff spot. And you look at the top three teams in the Central, top three teams in the Pacific, decent enough records, good records. They look like playoff teams. Then you look at the next nine teams, the two wildcard teams, Minnesota and St. Louis, and then everyone all the way on down, every team that's in the wildcard hunt right now has more losses than wins. Minnesota is the best of the group at 26, 23, and 5. So they've won 26, they've lost 28. They have 57 points this year. St. Louis has 55, and then going all the way down, like you said, LA is 5 points out of a playoff spot. Anaheim has a minus 51 goal differential. They've lost 8 of their last 10 games. I think I saw something that they had been outscored like 31-6 over their last 6 games. They're 4 points out of a playoff spot. It's just, it's really, really bad. Because if you look at the Eastern Conference, Carolina and Buffalo are currently out of a playoff spot. They would be the top two teams in the wild card in the Western Conference right now.
Whew, yeah, it is.
The West is bad.
Very ugly.
There are a couple of good teams at the top, like Calgary, San Jose, Vegas in a playoff spot. Winnipeg and Nashville are really good. Dallas kind of separating themselves, so they're your six. Nobody else is very good.
Yeah, I think you did a good job touching on some of the highlights, and even just to go to some of the other teams. Yeah, the lowlights, I guess. St. Louis is in that second wild card spot right now. They fired their coach a month and a half into the season. Of course, Chicago's also had a coaching change, and they're right in the hunt. Games out. Edmonton had a general manager change.
And a coaching change.
And a coaching change. And has been just awful. Combined, Arizona and Anaheim have lost 11 straight games. They've each lost at least 5 straight.
And not out of the playoff race, Casey.
Yeah, it is. It's really ugly. Ultimately, I think this isn't going to affect the Golden Knights. I think we've made pretty clear on this podcast, we do not really foresee a very clear or easy path to the Golden Knights winning the Pacific and therefore taking on one of the wild card teams. But, you know, I think you got to be happy if you're Calgary or whoever ends up winning the Central, Winnipeg or Nashville. It seems like you're going to be a huge favorite in round one.
Calgary would draw St. Louis in the first round of the playoffs this year. And I know it's kind of hard to predict a sweep, but man, wouldn't you? If Calgary played St. Louis in the first round?
Yeah, I still think maybe odds-wise 5 would be a little bit of the favorite, but it's close. I mean, they would be like a 1-20 favorite or something like that. Yes. And that's just crazy. I mean, when you think of a hockey playoffs, that's what everyone always brags about. There's so much parity. You can always expect one of the wild card teams to at least take it 7 games, if not win. And I don't know. I don't see it this year. I don't see any of these teams beyond the top 6 or even the top 5. Honestly, I'm not totally sold on Dallas. I don't see any upsets.
Yeah, and you just go and you look at the Eastern Conference. So the number 2 wild card team in the West, like we said, is St. Louis. They'd have to go to Calgary. In the East, it's Pittsburgh going to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay has been awesome. But it's not like Pittsburgh's like a bad team. Pittsburgh's fantastic. They've been fantastic for years, and oh, man, the West is, and like you had said, like Vegas coming back to win the West would take something. They're 7 points behind Calgary and have played 2 more games, so it's going to be hard for them to catch the Flames. I don't think that they do at this point. San Jose still could, but it's the Flames division to lose. But then Vegas, even, you know, they picked up 4 out of the 8 points on the road trip. They are 11 points clear of Vancouver, which would be the next team that could catch them in the Pacific. So, yeah, Vegas is pretty locked into a playoff spot, I'd say. I think they're going to jostle with San Jose. A lot of home games coming up. Could get Vegas enough points to leap San Jose and get home ice advantage in that first round. But I think we're pretty set on a collision course right now for Sharks Knights first round.
Yeah, I think we slandered every other team, but we both just completely glossed over Vancouver, who is technically tied right now. They have 55 points. I guess St. Louis has the tiebreaker. But this is a team that everyone thought was tanking at the beginning of the year, had no prayer at the playoffs. Now I think that finishes off the list. I think now we've hit on why every single team is bad.
Yeah, Colorado was good. Colorado, their top line can only carry them for so long, I guess. They're now got a negative goal differential. In fact, the 6 playoff teams, Central and Pacific, all have positive goal differentials. Everyone else in the West has a negative goal differential.
I think I'm going I think I'll still get with the Avalanche. They're so streaky. I think they might sneak into the second one ultimately. I'm going Minnesota, Colorado if I have to pick two of the teams. Who do you think?
Yeah. Minnesota, Colorado. I don't know. Vancouver, they're tied with St. Louis, but St. Louis has three games in hand. Vancouver, they've got Elias Pettersson. I don't know. I'm probably with you. I'm going to go Minnesota and Colorado.
Yeah, I think those are probably the favorites, but I think there could be someone wild, and that's something we'll keep an eye on as the playoff picture progresses here over the next couple months. And while we're on predictions, let's get to the week ahead. The Golden Knights have three games over the next 7 days. Columbus on Saturday, tomorrow, as we already discussed, and then during the week next week, two more games at T-Mobile, Arizona and Toronto. What are we looking for? What are the major topics on your mind going into this homestand?
It is a lot of games at home coming up, and I think we may have touched on it on our last podcast, but those games at home are not against bad teams. Columbus, pretty good. Arizona, as we just mentioned, firmly in the hunt for the playoffs, guys. Toronto's fantastic. Man, it's tough because even after that, you've got Nashville, and we'll have we haven't talked about them really on this podcast just because we'll have another podcast before they play Nashville. But Nashville, and then when they get home again, it's Boston and Winnipeg. Like, this is not an easy stretch of games, and you'd obviously, if you're going to play these teams, you'd rather play them at home. But you know, Columbus, good and hanging on to a playoff spot, whether or not. You know, Artemi Panarin and Sergei Bobrovsky are going to be on the team tomorrow. How long they're there remains to be seen. But, you know, Columbus is a good team. And Vegas coming back from such a long trip away from home, it's almost like you're coming home, but you're still traveling. So the first game back after a long road trip it's not a road game, but, I mean, they had to go from Carolina to Florida to Tampa Bay to Detroit, and now back to Vegas. It's just a lot of travel. Columbus was just in Arizona last night, so it's an easier trip for them. And granted, the Golden Knights get to stay in their own bed, but don't write off tomorrow night as a win just because the Golden Knights are back at home, I guess, is the point that I'm making.
Yeah, and, you know, I think when we were discussing the Eastern Conference a couple weeks ago, I said how much I like Columbus, and I think talent-wise, they are right there with the best. I believe I even bet on them to win the Metro. I think the only thing that could derail them is that turnover with some of their best players, especially Bobrovsky. But they've been good against the Golden Knights, too, I believe. Three meetings, the Golden Knights have lost two of them. So definitely not gimmies. You got to like that they're at home. But this is not an easy stretch by in any possible way.
No, and with Columbus, I mean, Bobrovsky shut him out in Columbus a couple of months ago in December. Malcolm Subban was the opposing goalie, or opposed Columbus. He was the Golden Knights goalie, and he only allowed one goal. So he played great, but, you know, they've got Vezina caliber goalie year in and year out. Artemi Panarin is a legit first line forward. And you look at just their points. I mean, Artemi Panarin, Cam Atkinson, Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, these are all guys that have more points than the Golden Knights leader. So they have a lot of forward talent. Their defense, they've got Seth Jones, Zach Werenski on the back end. It's a good team. And I know we haven't really quite got to the predictions point, but I'm pretty big in Columbus's corner, I think.
Okay, well, that's a little hint for a couple minutes when we'll pick all these games. But then looking ahead to a team that they have not struggled with, the Coyotes coming in on Tuesday. I think only lost once ever to Arizona. Seems like, I don't know, just kind of a mismatch every time these two teams are on the ice. I know a lot of people were thinking the Coyotes were going to take a step forward this year. It does not seem like that's been the case. I think of these games, and probably even the next eight home games, this will be the biggest favorite. We see the Golden Knights against Arizona on Tuesday.
Yeah, I would think so. They've beaten them twice this year already, both of the games in Arizona. It was overtime the day before Thanksgiving, and then the day before New Year's Eve, they were in Arizona, and they just beat them up a little bit. It was 5-1 in favor of the Golden Knights. Coyotes are really banged up this year. Their starting goalie, Andy Rono, is hurt. They traded for Nick Schmaltz from Chicago, and he was playing really well before he got hurt. Arizona, I feel like they're always the team that's about to take a step forward, aren't they?
And yeah, that's a pretty good description. I agree. Were those games actually in Arizona though? Because at least the one I watched, it sounded a lot like Vegas.
there were a lot of Vegas fans. I was on that trip, and there were a lot of Vegas fans there. But yeah, Coyotes coming to town. The Golden Knights will have two nights off between Columbus and Arizona. They're taking a full day off Sunday. They're not practicing, so it'll be a chance for them to recharge their batteries after a long trip. Yeah, I think I'm with you. Of these coming games, probably over the next few weeks, I think they'll be most heavily favored to beat the Coyotes.
Right, and then finally on next Thursday, the star-studded Maple Leafs are in town. And speaking of opposing fans being in attendance, man. There's going to be a lot of Maple Leafs fans. I know they really showed up last year on New Year's Eve, I believe. It was a matinee game, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot here on Thursday.
Oh, yeah, and this is a team that's I don't want to say top heavy because that kind of takes away from their lower, but star studded is a good way of putting it. I mean, they just got Austin Matthews linked to that 5-year extension. John Tavares came over in the offseason. William Nylander's there. Mitch Marner's there. Morgan Riley is potentially going to win the Norris. Frederik Andersen's been a good goalie for him this year. I mean, it's as a complete team as there is. If it weren't for the Lightning in the Eastern Conference, we'd be talking, I feel like, a lot more about the Maple Leafs, who have currently the second best record in the Eastern Conference. This was one that I've been excited to see as any team coming into town this year. Maple Leafs, it should be just an electric atmosphere. It always is, but it'll be a Thursday night, not even a weekend, but it's going to be a lot of people singing O Canada before the game starts, and I think we'll see a lot of blue, and that one's going to be fun. That one's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I remember last year a lot of the hockey purists, you know, those no fun guys that don't like shootouts. They were there was just so much hype over the second round series that looked like it would be between Nashville and Winnipeg. They were two of the best teams all year. I feel like this year that series that looks like the potential second round showdown is Tampa-Toronto. I mean, you could make a case, you know, not point wise or anything, but you could make a case they've been the two most impressive teams in the NHL, and they're going to be pretty big favorites in their first series. I think that is like the playoff series to see right now, and the Golden Knights are getting a look at both teams here in about a week stretch.
Well, if they can get through Boston, they've knocked them out a couple of times.
It's not a given. I just know, I mean, last year wasn't a given either.
Yeah, no,
just
you're definitely right. Your point stands that I think Tampa Bay Toronto is one that people have circled kind of from the beginning of the year since John Tavares put pen to paper as one. And Toronto currently wouldn't even have to play Boston in the first round. They'd have Montreal in the first round right now if the playoffs started today. But yeah, Toronto, Tampa Bay, pretty unarguably the best team in the league. Golden Knights got to look at them last year. Toronto might be the second best team in the league. And Golden Knights will get a look at them 6 days from now.
So I don't want to speak for you, but it seems like you might be saying 1-1 going into the Toronto game.
I'm a little pessimistic for the Golden Knights. I think I'm going to go with a 1-2 homestand.
Reversal. I know. I feel like I've always been the pessimistic one.
It's normally you, yeah. Well, I guess I can't say 1-2 homestand. They do have 4 games, and like I said, we keep kind of ignoring the Nashville game just because we will we'll have a podcast before the next Friday before the Predators game. But I kind of like Columbus on Saturday. I think they take care of Arizona. Toronto. Oh man, that'll be fun. You know what? I'm gonna stick to my optimistic attitude and say that they beat Toronto and go 2-1. I think they lose to Columbus, beat Arizona, beat Toronto.
I like it. I'm going to one-up you, though. 3-0 these 3 games. All wins right here. I like what I've seen.
Yeah,
like what I've seen out of Marchessault lately.
He's been turning
feel like the top line's in a good rhythm. I like them for sure against Columbus and Arizona. Toronto, I think, is more of a coin flip game. I think it's going to be a great game. But I'm going to go with Vegas. It'll be 5 straight if they win all 3 of those.
Yeah.
A lot of hype maybe going into that Nashville game, kind of like there was for the last Nashville game where they fell a little bit short. But that would make for a great atmosphere. Next week, we'll preview that Predators game next Friday and talk about what else the Golden Knights have coming up. But in the meantime, we have to get to our Shining Knight segment,
oh, yes,
kind of
do.
Our fantasy hockey, so to speak. We pick a Golden Knight member each week, can only use one per season. And do I get to gloat here? Did I win?
I don't want to talk about it.
I'm pretty sure I'm patting myself on the back here. I will say we both did a better job, better picks this week
than
we did
last week. They had points.
We had Stasny versus Pacioretty.
Pacioretty, yeah.
The person who's taken the first pick has won both times now. So yeah. I took the first pick. I had that advantage on you. But Stasny's been outstanding. Yeah. And you get some credit for it because I picked Stasny because I thought you did a great sales job on him when we were counting down the top 10. And he certainly looked like he had, what, 3 assists on this trip and just setting people up. Looked outstanding.
He had 3 assists. Pacioretty had a goal. I believe that Pacioretty goal was assisted by Paul Stasny. Stasny probably should have even had 2 or 3 goals on this trip. He was just a little bit snake bitten. Couple of just missing the net or hitting the post or getting robbed. He had a really good trip. He was probably better than the 3 points that he produced on the trip. So yeah, you got this one.
All right, 1-1. But you have the first pick this week. The entire roster in front of you, well, other than Pacioretty and Tomas Nosek, who I know you're just devastated that you can't take again after he showed up so much for you in week 1 for the point. Who are you thinking this week, these next 3 games, which Golden Knight is going to shine?
He just came back from injury. He didn't play super well those first few games on the road trip. Demoted off, or not, I don't want to say demoted. Moved off of the top line. Came back against Detroit and was fantastic. Hit post, but looked really good. Almost as good as we were last year. I'm going to take Riley Smith. Playing back with William Karlsson and Jonathan Marchessault. They were split up a little bit. Valentin Zhikov went onto the top line. I'm thinking that we see Smith, Karlsson, and Marchessault back up together. And Riley Smith, I think, is due. I'm going with number 19.
Interesting. So Smith will be, as far as you can tell, you would think he's going to be back on that top line.
I mean, they didn't have any availability today. Mm-hmm. He finished off yesterday, so we'll see tomorrow morning at practice. But the way that they played once they were together, I would be surprised.
It makes sense in what they've done over this entire time they've been together. Where does that leave Valentin Zhikov?
And Zhikov didn't play poorly. Like he looked pretty good this weekend. He had a goal. He had a couple of opportunities. I mean, my guess is they probably third line. I think that he's kind of earned the playing time, and you know, I could say all this and you guys could listen to the podcast and then he could be scratched tomorrow for our, I mean, so we never quite know. It's hard to keep up with hockey lines, but
I did have ulterior motives there. I was kind of angling for some information because I'm gonna troll you right now. I know he's not your favorite player. I'm taking Valentin Zhikov.
I like
this
it
week.
That's a bold pick. That is a bold pick, and I like it a lot. He played well this week. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure he wasn't, like, in your opinion, going to be a guy that was sent down or something immediately. So as soon as you said, if he's still going to get some minutes on the third line, I mean, he had the big goal against Tampa Bay. I've struck out when I would try to do this with Peary, but I'm going to try to strike while the iron's hot, so to speak, and go with Valentin Zhikov this week.
I dig it. I dig it. Yeah, like I said, I mean, I wasn't on the road trip. All I saw was how they played, and there was no availability today, so didn't get any gauge on what Gallant wants to do with Zhikov, but I'd be surprised if he wasn't playing tomorrow. But now for this, I'm not saying that I hope that he's not, but...
All right, Smith versus Zhikov, and Justin loves hearing all things Valentin Zhikov, so make sure you hit him up on Twitter, J15 Emerson.
I have no problem with the guy. I'm
thrusting this upon you. You're a Valentin Zhikov hater.
I'm not a hater. What I said was I was surprised. I didn't quite understand the waiver claim when they made it, just because it seemed like they had enough forwards already kind of trying to get into the lineup, but he's worked his way in, so... I'm not a hater.
All in good fun. We do know he has shown really a great goal scoring ability in the AHL. Obviously, a lot different up in the NHL, but he is still only 23 years old. He's been bouncing around the league for a while, but you know, still a guy. There's some raw talent there. There is some things that the guy can do. So we'll see.
And you just see him in practice. He's got very slick hands, and if that translates to scoring at the NHL level, it'll be a coup of a waiver claim. By the Golden Knights, we'll see how he does.
Slick hands. I never made my pick either. He might be the captain of my volleyball team. Valentin Zhikov versus Riley Smith. That's going to do it for this episode of Vegas Golden Podcast. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening. Make sure you catch up again with us next week. We'll break down these 3 games and look ahead.